next two steps, both of them are found in one prophetic tradition, which is one of the very delicate traditions that a lot is extrapolated from this tradition. A lot of methods of spirituality is extrapolated from this tradition. It's a very general tradition, but it's very important. It's from the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. O Ubudillah, ka'annaka tarah. Worship Allah in a manner as if you are seeing Him. As if you're seeing Allah. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى, and if you don't see Allah, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, verily He is seeing you. Now, we have two clauses here. There was a first clause, and then the second half of the tradition was a second clause. In the first clause, it's a matter of imagining that you are seeing Allah. A presence has to be felt. I know it's in the realm of imagining it, but that imagining itself helps in relation to your unity with a presence. And that's difficult, this first clause. And we'll speak about it tonight. But the second clause is the second step. And that's, if you can't imagine as if you're seeing Allah, at least acknowledge that Allah is seeing you. That's more of a rational, academic endeavor. Appreciating, acknowledging that Allah is watching over you. If I wanted to give an analogy, it's a nurse in an orphanage, when she works, sometimes... Sometimes she... There are cameras in the orphanage, in different rooms, and she appreciates that someone is watching over her. And that affects the way she works with the orphans. It affects it when there's no cameras, and with the presence of cameras, it makes a difference to the way she works with the orphans. When there are cameras, she acknowledges someone is watching. This is the second clause. But sometimes, now this is the first clause. And this is step three in Moraghibah. Sometimes the head of the orphanage is with her, standing side by side, when she is looking after the orphans. Here, the degree of care she displays now is much more, because the director is now beside her, seeing her from action to action. She'll be more careful. Her actions will qualitatively be much better. So these are two steps in this one tradition. The easier of the two is just acknowledging that Allah is watchful over you. Action to action, when you do different things, that's the criteria, that's the filtering mechanism now. If that becomes second nature, you'll act differently in life. But the third step is imagining as if you are seeing Allah. Now that has to be explained. If you succeed in that, if that becomes second nature, then that's a higher degree. But the two filtering mechanisms here is acknowledging that Allah is watchful over you, and the third, appreciating that, imagining that you're seeing that presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now, with all that we've said so far, including this second clause, where you have to acknowledge that Allah is watchful over you, everything we've said so far, including this second clause, so everything excluding the first clause, this we call, it's still in the realm of ethical muraqabah. Because there's one final type of muraqabah, which is called the irfani type of muraqabah, and that's what the third step wants you to reach. Now it's these two I want to explain, inshallah, tonight. In ethical muraqabah, which was everything, including the second clause, sorry, this is going to sound a bit difficult tonight. It's quite difficult to arrange this in a lucid manner. In ethical muraqabah, one wants to minimize futile and void actions. That's the aim. Or one wants to avoid nullifying the spiritual effects one has accumulated whilst doing muraqabah. That's the aim with ethical muraqabah. Ultimately, one wants to minimize it. It may never go 100%, but if you go through those filtering mechanisms, those two filtering mechanisms, you will minimize the number of actions that are done unlawlessly, i.e. that have been carried out without filtering those actions, tuning those intentions properly. That's the aim there. But with irfani muraqabah, where you're instructed to imagine as if you're seeing Allah, here things become difficult. Here it's all about focusing on Allah alone, whilst eliminating all forms of barriers and impediments and interferences in your focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the beginning, this has to be done in your own quiet, your quietude, alone, away from all distractions, only you just focusing on Allah. Here, you want to drown yourself in the verse which we mentioned on the first night. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. He's the first, he's the last, he's the inner, he's the outer. Everything is a manifestation of Allah's attributes. You, in the beginning, in your own quiet, when you start doing this, after mastering ethical muraqabah, where now you've succeeded to a significant extent to acknowledge that Allah is watchful over you in your daily actions. When you mastered that, now you can start entering into irfani muraqabah. Here, in the beginning, it's a matter of you in your own space, away from all kinds of distractions, focusing on Allah, His attributes, but only Allah. In the beginning, what happens is 1,001 different things bombard your mind. What you ate, what happened at school, what happened at work. But the whole aim of doing ethical muraqabah, where from action to action, acknowledge that Allah is watchful over you, you will minimize those interferences, mental interferences, when you do irfani muraqabah. This ethical muraqabah helps to focus your resolution, to make you acquire a firm resolve. To acquire a firm resolve, you can do it in other ways too. Ethical muraqabah is something recommended, but you can do, there are many Western techniques you can use, but they're limited. And that, it's not confined to Muslims, even non-Muslims can do it. For some people, yoga, the practice of yoga may help them, but that focus ought to be diverted when focusing on something. It's okay, it's not at all. As long as there's no, you know, Buddhist content which comes along with it, and it's simply the set of exercises, and it leads to you acquiring a firm result, that's good. But there are better ways. Ethical morality is harder. Maybe you can't, it's difficult for you. You can go through other techniques, and I don't want to only suggest one. But the point is, that with ethical morality, where now, not only you did things for Allah's satisfaction, from action to action, not only are you acknowledging, and did you acknowledge that Allah is watchful over you, if that's mastered, when you want to just focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will minimize interferences. It will allow you to focus. But still, there'll still come some interferences. Now, if this is practiced, this drowning in huwal awwalu wal akhiru, this practice, with time, you will minimize those mental distractions. And there'll be minutes after minutes after minutes that you can really be drowned in Tawheed. At least the presence will be felt. This has to be mastered now and become second nature. When this becomes second nature, things start to happen. I'll come to that in a minute. In our traditions, this muraqabah has also been defined as haya. Haya means being embarrassed before Allah. It's sometimes translated, maybe a bit incorrectly, as modesty. Haya. When someone asked the Holy Prophet what haya was, he said, "And ta'budallah ka'annaka tara." Haya is worshipping Allah as if you're seeing Him. And if you can't see Him, to acknowledge that He is watchful over you. He gave the same definition for tara, for haya. This haya involves both the ethical muraqabah and the irfani muraqabah. There were two clauses there. The second clause was ethical muraqabah. The first clause was irfani muraqabah. Both are incorporated within the concept of haya. Once the Holy Prophet, on elaborating on what haya is, he said, أما الحياء فيتشعب منه النيم. Concerning حياء, that which emanates from it includes, and then he goes through a number of things. If you have these, just judge yourselves, there's no need to think of other people. If you have these, it's a good sign. If you don't, the key is more like it. Emanating from haya. What's haya? Worshipping Allah as if you're seeing Him. And if you can't see Him, being appreciative of the fact, acknowledging the fact that He is watchful over you. Okay. emanating, the next tradition, emanating from Hayah are the following. Alin, gentleness, soft temperament, not these haphazard aggressive behavior people have with their spouses, children, friends, and so on. It's none of that. No anger moods, no swings. Does it make sense? How can someone who is acknowledging that Allah, the nurse who's seeing that the camera's looking over her, how can they be angry? How can they be aggressive? You see, they haven't gone through the steps, that's why. They haven't changed intentions, that's why. They become violent at it. They become insolent. Everyone, we all become angry. There are times, but at least you don't have to minimize it. For some people, it's a norm. If haya is done properly, emanating from it is a soft temperament. Warra'fato, compassion. How can you not be compassionate when either you're acknowledging Allah is watchful over you, or you feel the presence of Allah, where everything, the focus is on Allah, in the Irfani Murakabe, the Irfani Hayah. How can you not be compassionate? For you, all actions, all attributes, all things are manifestations of Allah's attributes. Allah is acting Allah in this world. When you see an action, why should you not be compassionate to people? And that's why we see the Ahlul Bayt. They were constantly in a state of irfani muradabe. In all actions they saw Allah. Nabi Zainab alayhi salam, ma ra'aytu illa jameela. This was the massacre of Karbala. There were killings of the worst style. All she saw was beauty. And this is her expressing her inner irfan. When it comes for her speaking with the common lay people in terms that they understand, and in terms that history notes it down one day that there were atrocities there, she would say, if only the skies would be cleft asunder, if only the earth would open up. She would say that so, people understand the severity of what was going on. Otherwise, for her, in her own world, whatever she saw Allah. That's irfani muraqabe. Anyway, with haya, of course you'll be compassionate. Because someone asks you for a favor, wants you to do something, you to give them something, whatever. You don't give them because you don't see anything as yours. That servitude has been mastered. You don't give it to them. Nothing is yours. Whatever is Allah's. And you're in that presence of Allah. Of course you'll be compassionate. Yes, amal hayao fayatashabu minhu. Then we went through the first and the second. The third thing which emanates from haya, wal muraqabatu lillah fi sirri wal alaniya. Be it in public or private, it doesn't make a difference to you. Or the presence of Allah, or at least you're acknowledging Allah's watchful over you. You're always observing Allah's duties. It doesn't make a difference. Now here you can just evaluate yourselves in relation to the ibadat, in relation to the non-ibadat. Is there a difference when you're alone at home and when you're with people? If there's a big difference, then There's no monogamy. You haven't been doing anything. If there's a little difference, you need to improve. There shouldn't be any difference. Compassion is compassion. Gentleness is gentleness. It doesn't matter whether you're alone or with people. Whether you're with your spouse or with your friends, the behavior should be the same. And this is something where most marriages have problems with. Because with the spouse, they become so used to one another that then the veils of chastity slowly become broken. But with monogamy, it won't, and it shouldn't. No one's forcing you to marry. It's not for a job. Just make sure marriage doesn't become a downhill for you. What's salam at all? Health. Now how can haya lead to good health? Well, if you acknowledge that Allah's watching over you, you won't overeat. Your nutritional appetite, your sexual appetite, everything is, you know, on a par with what humans do rather than animals. You're embarrassed before Allah eating like an animal. You're embarrassed before Allah living a lifestyle with animalistic attributes. If you acknowledge that Allah's watchful over you, if you have that presence, of course you have good health. وَاجْتِنَوْبُ الشَّرِّ. You will avoid vicious actions. The camera. The nurse would never do something back to the orphan. The camera's looking at her. Just that this tuning of our intentions, that someone is looking over you, is important. Now before that, we have to learn about Tawheed, we have to know about Allah, Aqa'id, then Taqwa, we master it, then first step, second step, you know, there's a set of procedures one has to go through. If you want to quickly start, it's going to be difficult because you don't have that scaffolding. Well, Bashasha, they're happy. Why should they be? What is there to make them sad when they acknowledge or see Allah's presence? How can they be sad? They don't groan, they don't complain, they're happy. Something happened at school, they get low grades, it doesn't matter. I did my best. What about Allah wants? I didn't get to that university place, I didn't get that job, it doesn't matter. These people are with Allah now. They just do their bit. But from action to action, whatever they do, they're in Allah's presence. When we see this disappointment, I failed this, I didn't get this, I wanted to do a PhD, I wanted that job, these are, it's all. Be careful not to get drowned. Wassamahatu, forgiveness comes from haya. Of course you'll forgive. And you see, Allah is watching over you. Someone does wrong. If you don't forgive, Allah is far away from your actions. The person has done you wrong. Okay, it's their fault. But you forgive. If you're in the presence of Allah, you'll run to them to forgive them. You'll phone them. This holding on to crutches, this all this. These are just side effects of a life which is just futile. You're just drowning yourselves in Allah-less actions. You have to go back. Go back from the beginning. Learn Tawheed, Aqa'id, Master Taqwa, go through the filtering mechanisms, and then you'll grow. وَالْذَفْرُ وَحُسْنُ الثَّنَاءُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ فِي النَّاسِ. You'll be victorious and well-known, popular amongst the people. People will say that this man is a man of God. He's in the presence of God. We can trust him. This one we can trust. People will like you. They'll come towards you. But they see you're compromising yourself. At university, you keep on groaning. At the workplace, you're compromising your faith. With your family, you're doing this. With your children, you're doing that. The people will say that he's just like one of us. There's nothing about him. You don't see any godliness. فهذا ما أصاب العاقل بالحياة. This is what the عاقل encounters by means of حياة. And حياة have the same definition. There's two clauses of مراقبة. This is what will be encountered. And bravo upon one who accepts Allah's advice and fears being disgraced by Allah. And it continues. Okay. With the Irfani Muraqibah, where the director of the orphanage is now with the nurse, she's seeing him, that presence is much stronger now than just the presence of a camera. There, you're appreciative of the fact that someone's watching over you, but here, you're in the best, you know, performance mode now. One verse of the Holy Quran reads, Hua, Hua, first lecture, Ma'akum, is with you all. Einama kuntum, wherever you are. He's with you. But some are aware of this reality and aware of this presence of Allah, others are not. Muraqabah is the key to become aware. There are stages, you have to go through them. You have to tune those intentions. And then this presence needs to be maintained. And then, slowly one sees Allah in all actions. If one goes through those steps, all actions, in all attributes, in all praises, in all things. Whichever way you turn, there's the face of Allah. He's everywhere, but we're not aware of it. We see the creation. We get drowned in different aspects of it. With muraqabah, it helps you to minimize those distractions because of the way it tunes your intentions from action to action. And then, here in the beginning, maybe to enhance that feeling, that presence before Allah, it requires, you know, short periods of time alone in a room with no distractions whatsoever, you alone, just thinking of Allah, and whenever any distraction comes, put that away. Put that away. This is the third step now. You have a strong scaffolding. If you can't do it, you've lacked somewhere down the line. It comes a point where you can just think of Allah without anything coming there. If this is mastered, properly, with the proper scaffolding, here you start to recite the book. That book of existence that we spoke about. It manifests and you see it. You see your own book manifesting. And you don't see it with the eyes of the head. You don't see it with the physical eyes either. You're awake. Visions. The visions are you. It's your book of existence now coming out. And this is where perfection qualifies. Because what you see has a direct effect on your spirituality. Before, you would say, the tradition said, كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. As if you see Allah, but then this becomes converted into annaka tara, of seeing that love. Ať a víro mo peníde. Mo ak podorat pán blám ara. That we worship a Lord that I don't see. It's the eyes of the heart. But you will also see it when that book of existence manifests. In one tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, Inna lillah, verily with Allah, Ta'ala, Almighty Allah, sharaban li'awliya'i. With Allah, there's a wine for His friends, for Allah's lovers. There's a wine. That wine referring to Sharia and Tariqa. إِذَا شَرَبُوا سَكَرُوا. If they drink the wine, they become intoxicated. Not physically intoxicated, you know, spiritually. You're beginning feeling that presence. It's as if you're intoxicated. You're oblivious to what's around you, what's happening. The focus is Allah. وَإِذَا سَكَرُوا تَلَبُوا. And if they become intoxicated, they become ecstatic. Because now that rapport with the beloved is something very important now. وَإِذَا تَلَبُوا تَابُوا. And if they become ecstatic, they become refined, purified from all impurities. Totally in love with the beloved now. Drowned in the beloved. All these impurities, vicious attributes, ethical vices, everything goes now. وَإِذَا تَابُوا, and if one becomes purified from all these impurities, Dhabu, they melt. There's no more I. There's no more ego. They melt. وَإِذَا ذَابُوا خَلَسُوا أَوْ خُلِسُوا. Depends here. I'm not sure which. The vowels here, it can be translated differently. The text didn't have the vowels, so. And if one melts, maybe Khulisu is better, one is made sincere. Sometimes one does actions, making one's actions sincere for Allah, but sometimes one is made sincere, Khulisu. The I is slaughtered. There's no I anymore. It's becoming. وَإِذَا خُلِسُوا تَلَبُوا. And if that happens, one is now in search of Allah and will find Allah. The real thing, not the rational Allah, not the philosophical Allah, the real thing. وَإِذَا تَلَبُوا, and whoever finds Allah, who seeks for Allah, sorry, تَلَبُوا, وَجَدُوا. They'll find Allah. In all actions, they'll find Allah. They've reached a very high degree now. In all actions, they see Allah manifesting Allah-ly in those actions. وَإِذَا وَجَدُوا, and if one finds Allah, وَسَلْهُ, they'll be joined with Allah. Here, joined with Allah, maybe it means now one sees Allah in all attributes. All praises, alhamdulillah, all praises are Allah's. If someone says he's a good man, you see Allah behind that goodness. The food was nice tonight. You're praising Allah when you say that. In all attributes, in all adjectives, like good, super, very good, honorable, wise, all these things, all of it, you see Allah behind it. Rather than He's an intelligent man, you get drowned in him. That's more difficult than sin and loving one actions. This is one step higher. وَإِذَا وَسَلُوا اِتَّسَلُوا. And if you are in joining with Allah, then you become in unity with Allah. You become aware of that unity with Allah. Now, manifestation of all of Allah's attributes. All your actions are on a par with Allah's will. There's no you anymore. And then finally, وَإِذَا تَسَلُوا. If you're in unity with Allah, لَا فَرَقَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ حَبِيبِهِ. There's no difference between these people and their beloved, because they are a manifestation of Allah's attributes. Whatever they do is on a par with Allah's will. Not to say they are Allah, no. They are creation of Allah. They are worshippers of Allah. But everything they manifest is Allah's attributes. Now, this tradition some people have problems with in relation to its authenticity. Assuming that the case, we'll go to the Quran, chapter 76, verse 21. وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا تَهُورًا. Their Lord will satiate them with a pure wine. Their Lord will satiate them. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in relation to this verse, said this heavenly wine is one which cleanses one from other than Allah. That's what the wine does. It cleanses you from all, everything which is other than Allah. Now this heavenly wine, it's the station of spirituality. It has to be acquired here in this world through your actions. And then you take the result of it with you to the hereafter. But if you don't acquire it here, you'll be blind, as the verse of the Quran says, in the hereafter. You'll be empty-handed. Now all this that you said so far, Muraqabir, the ultimate aim was to detach oneself from other than Allah. That was the ultimate aim of Muraqabir, all those different stages. When one wants to detach oneself from other than Allah, you can detach yourself from the worldly life. And you can, Hindus may be able to do it, people who are very ill may be able to do it, detach themselves from the world because of illness that they have. People who have been abused in their childhood may be able to have it. A nephew of one of the Maroji had this very serious illness, and he was very young. I saw him once, and he was very ill. And that led him to detach from everything in this world. And then he saw Amir al-Mu'mineen. The book of existence manifested. It wasn't a physical reality. It was a vision. You detach yourself from the worldly life, from other than Allah, the book of existence manifests. But the best way to do it is through Sharia and Tariqah. The key is Muraqabah. Like that, you will benefit maximally from when you unfold the book of existence. He saw Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen said to him that you will be cured on this day. And tell your mother not to worry too much. And I'll come back on that day to see you again. And he came. Now his father told me this story. His uncle is a manager. So they're very respectable people. But that was a vision. It wasn't a physical reality. There's no need for it to be physical. It was the soul, the book of existence, now manifesting. That's the aim in Moraqibe. Perfection lies in this. A visionless life is a very, very low degree of spirituality. It starts with dreams. It starts with having important dreams. And then these dreams become less and less, because then one sees it once a week, these visions, not with the physical eye. One begins to see angels. One begins to see events happening in the future. One receives instructions. One sees previous prophets. In one verse in the Quran, was'al man arsalnaka min qablika min ar-rusul. Ask those that we've sent before you amongst the prophets, amongst the messengers. Ask them, who is this directed to? Okay, the external aspect of the verse, the relation to the Holy Prophet, in his Mi'raj. But that can apply to us too. Now, when the Prophet, during the Mi'raj, in Masjid al-Aqsa, when he saw the Prophets, no book in history recorded anyone seeing them. No one saw all the Prophets praying behind the Holy Prophet and the Holy Prophet, our Holy Prophet, seeing all the messengers and speaking with them. No other man saw all this. It hasn't been recorded by anyone. And even if they were there, which they were, no one saw anything. Because these are visions now, apparitions. It's now you, it's the soul manifesting. It's like when you see in your dream, it's not with the physical eye. So the person sleeping next to you doesn't see what you're seeing in your dreams. Because what you're seeing in your dreams is a manifestation of your book of existence, but you're asleep. Because when you sleep, you're automatically detaching yourself from the world of life. It's an automatic thing. We ascend during our sleep. We'll come to that, inshallah, in 2 days' time. But some people, whilst awake, they can have it. And then they see prophets. They ask prophets questions. They benefit from prophets. This is open to everyone. Don't say this is very far off. You're far down. Go up. Ta'alaw. Ibn Arabi has had so many encounters, so many visions of prophets. And he's learned so much ma'arif from them. And he's brought it in his books. And then in one encounter, he saw one of the prophets of the previous cycles of mankind, before Adam. And that was an incredible dialogue. Now's not the time for that, because that was deviated. It's a very interesting dialogue. These things are possible. You can experience heaven. Heaven. Whilst awake in this world, you're awake, you're in heaven, and you see heaven, and you feel that utmost joy in being in heaven. You may be in the second, third, fourth degree of heaven, whilst being awake amongst the people. Because you've reached a stage where the book of existence is manifesting itself. For most people, they wait after physical death, and then in Barzakh, the manifesting occurs. There, if it's good, you have the barzakh heaven, if it's bad, your manifestation of your actions, embodiment of actions. For some people, that embodiment of actions happens right here, once a week, during moments of time. As salatu mi'raj ul mu'min. Salat is the mi'raj. You can spiritually ascend and see. Now, in Ayatollah Hassanzade's own Hassanzade Omri's memoirs, he gives an event here. He writes something which happened and he shares it with people. He's an incredible man. There's no doubt about it. Wait, well, I guess. If you give me until 11 so we finish it, you know, yes. Maybe I don't want to do this tomorrow. He's an incredible man. Someone very, very talented, very spiritual. And Lome Thapa Thapa has said incredible things about him. Things like, no one knows Ori Hassan Zadeh but the 12th Imam. You know, it's something incredible for Lome Thapa Thapa to say that. Or the earth that Ori Hassan Zadeh walks on, I'll use as my core. Or whatever. Here, in one of his memoirs, he says, on the third night of the month of Sha'ban, 1409 after Hijra, I was reciting Surat al-Waqi'ah in my house in Qom. When I reached the verses 92 to 94, but if they are of the straying deniers, فَنُزُلٌ مِّنْ حَمِيمٍ, boiling water will be their share, will be their treat. وَتَسْلِيَةُ جَهِيمٍ, will be entering hell. When he came to these verses, when reciting Surat al-Waqi'ah, all of a sudden I realized the apparition, the vision of hell before myself. And the temperature of its flames was rising, and there I intuitionally witnessed Allah's word, verse, وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَهِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. Hell is brought into view for one who sees. For one who sees. Hell is brought into view. I saw this verse for myself in reality. Without hell either making contact with me or harming me. Even though the apparition, the vision, was realized deep within the perceiver's soul. Dreams are a product of the soul. Dreams are realized within the soul. But here he was awake and he had these visions. After all, apparitions are a form of perception. At that time, he says, two matters were inspired upon me. Firstly, were man to purify oneself from material and spiritual contaminations and to preserve one's muraqabah and sincerity and to execute righteous actions, it will be possible for one to be the recipient of visions of whichever Quranic verse one recites or whatever event, irrespective of whether or not the event has been realized. With that kind of a heart, when you read the story of the Nile separating the two, you'll have visions of it, you'll see it. When you read of Ibrahim being burnt, thrown into the fire, you'll see it, it all will appear. Back in dreams, but you're awake. You're awake. And the reason you can see whatever happened before and what happens in the future is because of what happens when you transcend timeless realms. The soul is transcending timeless realms. What they are hunting from those realms, then when they come down, they manifest into barzakhi pictures. This I'll explain more about. I just wanted to mention that this capacity is there. Secondly, the apparitions that take place within the perceiver's soul are one thing, whilst their manifestation within the soul is quite another. The former, where it's just the visions, constitutes neither harm nor distress for the perceiver. Rather, it leads to a joy-granting knowledge for one. But their manifestation, however, is a cause of harm and chastisement. Bad actions embodied in the hereafter will be a source of harm. Embodiment of actions. But there's another form of visions where you're seeing the realities, the dominions of the heavens and earth now. That's joy granting, that's soul elevating. Okay. Yes, I'm getting pushed for time here.
Salawat.
Maybe you'll forget everything if I start from this page tomorrow. And I have 15 minutes, time for 10 minutes in Zikra Mosiba. What shall we do? What's your opinion?
You should go ahead, I think.
Yes, try and finish it off. Yes.
The other thing is we should start at 9:30 like we're supposed to.
Right, oh, right, yes.
Can you give the topic out with these?
The what, sorry?
The topic of the...
It's just continuing from the same topic, yes. Because I'm just trying to mention, I want to start a new topic tomorrow. So, Muraqabah had two degrees. Ethical Muraqabah, Irfani Muraqabah. In ethical Muraqabah, the focus was preventing oneself from sinning. Prevention of sins, that's the aim. And you're still looking for heavenly rewards. In Irfani Muraqabah, one doesn't look at the rewards. Not that he doesn't want the rewards. It's not the rewards that he's seeking. It's all about that focus with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's past the stage of now preventing, avoiding sins. That's all over now. It's just maintaining that focus on Allah. Irrespective of the rewards, the heavenly rewards, that's secondary. In ethical Muraqabah, when one seeks for forgiveness, it's forgiveness for one's sins. In Irfani Muraqabah, when one seeks for forgiveness, it's forgiveness for one's ibadat. Because in the presence of Allah, one always feels one is lacking. In ethical Muraqabah, one attributes actions to oneself. They're mukhlis people. They're sincere. They do actions for Allah's sake. But they say, I did this action for Allah. There's still an I. There's still a trace of ego. And they attribute the action to themselves. Whereas in Irfani Muraqabah, there's no I. And one other difference, in ethical Muraqabah, it's not the real Allah yet. When they say, I do this action for Allah's sake, in ethical Muraqabah, not Irfani Muraqabah, it's not the real Allah. It's a rational Allah. It's a philosophical Allah, not the real thing. In Irfani Muraqabah, Subhanallahi Amma Yasifun. Allah is immaculate from what they ascribe to Him. Because it's a rational Allah they ascribe to Allah. It's a philosophical Allah, it's not the real Allah. Allah is free of all that. Illa ibadallahil mukhlasin. Save for those who are mukhlas, not mukhlis. Those who have slaughtered the I. The I has been made sincere for Allah, not actions. Whatever they ascribe to Allah, it's right. Because they see Allah, the real thing. If I describe a lion to you, everyone just imagine a lion, big, hungry, and I'm just describing it, everyone will just be seated where they are. But if a real lion comes in, we'll all run out. Because it's the real thing. The mukhlasi, they see Allah. That's why it's impossible for them to sin. Because they're constantly recording Allah in His presence. In ethical Muraqabah, one wants heaven, they go to Allah, but then they turn away from Allah by wanting other than Allah, from Allah. It's like the inmates of hell. They also want other than Allah. But they go directly to, and not wanting other than Allah. They go directly. In ethical moral, they go to Allah, they believe in Allah. But then it's the heavenly rewards thereafter. The holies, the wuzur, the palaces and everything. And in that sense, they become deviated from Allah, distracted from Allah. But with the inmates of hell, they want other than Allah directly. Okay, they don't go to Allah to want other than Allah. That's the good people want that. These people want other than Allah, but directly. The inmates of hell. There's no Allah there. In ethical morality, they want the palaces, the holies from Allah, where in Erfan Muraqabah only Allah is desired. The heavenly reward is good, but that's a secondary offshoot. They like heaven, they like the rules and everything. It's a secondary thing though. It doesn't make them distracted from Allah. In ethical Muraqabah, the aim and destination, which is heaven, is hidden from those in Erfan Muraqabah. Once in Erfan Muraqabah, the aim and destination, which is Allah, is hidden from those in ethical morality. You can then go through, you know, the tape again, just to focus on each of these in detail. And finally, in Irfani morality, the slogan is At-Tawhido and Tansa Ghayrallah. It's a tradition that we have. At-Tawhid is forgetting other than Allah, focusing only on Allah. That presence has to be maintained and become second nature. There's no talk of other than Allah. Allah's always in the picture. He's never shifted. Okay. We'll stop there. Okay, now we'll just go through a few words of Osita. We have 6 minutes. So let's just go here. The night of the 21st finally arrived, the year 40 after Hijrah. His Eminence Amir al-Mu'mineen called all his relatives to assemble around him. These were the final moments. It was time to bid everyone farewell. Even during such a time, when the effects of the poison were becoming more and more lethal, he had enjoined virtue to them all. Amir al-Mu'mineen could no longer eat or drink anything. His lips would move solely for purposes of recalling Allah and inviting those around him to Allah. I entrust you all upon Allah, Imam Ali uttered. On saying this, loud cries and lamentations were expressed by them all. Ali alayhi salam turned initially to Imam Hassan alayhi salam and said, Ya Aba Muhammad, Usika bin Hussein Khayra. O Hassan, I enjoin that you do goodness towards Hussein. Fa anta huma minni, you two are of me, wa ana min huma, and I am of you two. He then turned to his children whose mothers were other than Fatima Ali Hassan. He turned to those children and willed to them and asked them never to go against Hassan and Hussein Ali Hassan. They all listened. Amir al-Mu'mineen then exclaimed, أحسن الله لكم المعذر. May Allah dignify you all with utmost patience. ألا وإني منسلف عنكم. I'm separating from you all. وراهل في ليلتي هذه. I'm leaving you all tonight. ولاحق بحبيبي رسول الله كما وعدني. I'm leaving you all tonight to join my beloved one, the messenger of Allah, as he had promised. Then he turned towards Fatima's children and said, you will all be undergoing lots of tribulations from enemies of old. He described to Hassan and Hussein what lies ahead, and that the key to all these trials is patience. Then to Hassan alayhi salam, he continued, giving a number of instructions. He started with the shahadatain, inni ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammada rasulullah. O Hassan, I'm leaving you with what the Holy Prophet left me in his final testament, and said, Usika, ya bunaya, O my dear son Hassan, Usika bis salat inda waqtaha. I enjoin for you to execute the salat at the appropriate time. Wazakat fi ahdaha inda mahallaha. And to execute the zakat at the right time and place to the right people. Was something in the shubha.